If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Yeah, Terry Savage was pointing a few things out to me that we'll talk about, not today, I suppose. She's normally on with us on Wednesdays, but I'll bring it up maybe on the noontime business lunch as well today. And that is, what percentage of people currently have an antenna on their house so as to avoid paying cable? And it's like 36%. And there are some other financial statistics out there about how you and I are doing everything we can to fight any increased costs for everything. I thought that number was shockingly high. 36% of people have or are going to get an antenna on the roof of their house. We've come full circle, right?
I have an antenna box.
And you live downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So you're very near the TV broadcast towers. I have a house in Ottawa, and the broadcast towers don't reach. I do not have a broadcast signal that reaches my home in Ottawa well enough for me to watch over-the-air TV. Decatur doesn't get it to me. Peoria doesn't get it to me. The Quad Cities. Chicago doesn't. So I have to have a streaming service or a cable service. I can't avoid that. But you don't have cable then? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Wow. And what's it like on that side?
Honestly, I still don't really use it that much. I mean, like, WGN TV has its own app, so I can watch the news when I want to and need to.
But you then have to cobble together via streaming and all of these ways,
yeah,
apps, your TV.
It's really funny. I like never know what movies are coming out because I don't watch commercials. Yeah, it's interesting. It's really convenient for the Bears games and stuff.
Why?
Well, because Fox.
Well, because locally you're able to watch it,
yes,
for free over the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, okay, that's nice.
The most annoying thing is, like, if I walk past it, the TV freezes for a second.
Hey, tell us the story, John, of when you were a kid and what you did to your sister.
Well, it's funny. We have four of us, and I was in the middle, and I had an older sister and a younger sister. Mary was the youngest, and for some reason, the rabbit ears, you know, those two antenna that stick out of the back of the old black and white TVs, even the color, if you stood next to that and held the antenna, we got better reception. I don't know if it was Mary's fillings or what, but so she was the youngest. So if the thing was fuzzy and we're trying to watch the Flintstones, we'd say, Mary, and she'd go, okay. And then she would stand there, hold the antenna, and then kind of peer around the corner so she could watch too. Such was the plight of being the youngest of four. It sounds a little bit like what you've noticed, Lapka. Do you do that? Mm-hmm. You stand there and hold the antenna? And then
no,
look at the
I mean,
TV?
It's best if I don't stand by it.
Okay.
It's like I'm blocking the waves.
Eric Zorn joins us now, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, the weekly newsletter with commentary and comedy and links to WGN's Mincing Rascals podcast. Eric's on that panel. Eric, does that make any sense? Do you relate to or remember how we used to watch TV at my house?
I remember doing things like putting tinfoil, yeah, on the rabbit ears on a TV.
Flags.
What I don't understand, what did people in Ottawa do before cable? I mean, cable is, what, 50 years old, but before that, did they just not watch TV out there?
I don't have an answer to that question. Maybe it's that I can't get Chicago TV, but I can get Peoria TV, or maybe they have maybe they had repeaters, you know, like in Streeter or LaSalle or Peru,
right,
some of the nearby towns. But right now, I couldn't get Channel 9 and WMAQ TV, you know, in Chicago. Living in Ottawa, the signal doesn't travel that far. I don't know.
Yeah,
how they did.
And of course, the point about people who are putting antennas on their roofs now or using that is that all these things are going to go away. I think Lynn was saying that she gets to watch the Bears game because it's on local broadcast. But how long is that going to last? I mean, all these games, all these sports are moving over to the stream. Or to cable. And pretty soon, I think the over-the-air component of sports broadcast, which is pretty much what I use over-the-air TV for, it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
You're going to have to subscribe to something.
That's what happened with CSHN. That used to be on my cable box, and it disappeared.
Yeah, well, and you can pay a premium for that, or you can buy the separate components like Cubs or Blackhawks or whatever. It's a real annoyance, particularly since our holidays are tied to football games now. So the day before Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's, and those are being gobbled up by the streaming services. And so, you know, the thing is you need like 12 different streaming services now if you want to have access to all the major holiday games. I know, boo-hoo for us, but I'm sorry, that's kind of the way America lives, and it's annoying that you have, it's not even affordable for some people to be able to participate in these things.
Yeah, I don't like the trend of it at all. I think the experience of watching games on the streaming services is subpar. I much prefer watching it I use the Dish Network, and I much prefer that to the streaming services. And it's not, you know, not because they don't have to, you know, for what I'm paying. It's just that the interface is so much better. The ability to fast forward through commercials and so on.
Eric, I want to talk about some of the things you're writing about in your Picayune Sentinel, but Pete just handed me this, and I want to mention it. This just in, Supreme Court is considering striking down assault weapons bans in a Chicago area case. So we have banned assault weapons in the Chicago area. The Supreme Court is going to look at that. The case is expected to be heard in the fall. I'll just read from this story. A Supreme Court that has expanded gun rights will consider whether bans on semi-automatic rifles, often called assault weapons, violates the Second Amendment. The justices said Tuesday they will take up the appeals asking the court to strike down bans on AR-15 and similar semi-automatic firearms in the Chicago area and in Connecticut. I know I've talked to a local retailer who said that this is the bulk of my business, and if you say I can't sell semi-automatic weapons, then I'm out of business. How can you do that to me, particularly since I should have Second Amendment protection? The Supreme Court is now going to hear that case this fall. And knowing how this court interprets gun rulings, I'm thinking of Bruin in New York, I could see them saying that's a common use weapon and will allow people in the Chicago will not be allowed to ban that weapon.
What are the prediction markets saying about that? I can't imagine this Supreme Court not saying that ban is unconstitutional. It's unimaginable to me that they will let that ban stand.
Well, are you surprised by their birthright citizenship ruling?
I was surprised at how close it was. I mean, it's technically 5-4, but actually maybe more like 6-3 for reasons. But you know, it's just we are one or two new justices away from having overturned birthright citizenship, that only five justices found that the constitutional language supports birthright citizenship. I was stunned by that. I was expecting it to be unanimous or 8-1. I mean, Clarence Thomas, you never know what he's going to do, but I was really surprised and disappointed and disheartened by the fact that it was so close. Yeah. This court remains very conservative and very friendly to President Trump, and it's kind of frightening to me how close that ruling was.
And Clarence Thomas, who never used to say a word, like he went years on the bench without uttering so much as a word, then in his dissent wrote an opinion that ran 160-plus pages. So he felt very strongly that birthright citizenship should not be afforded to people who just come here from outside of the country. But obviously, he didn't win the day on that. The president has since posted that they'll find a legislative way around that. I don't know what that means, but he said Congress needs to get to work.
Well, there was a suggestion in Gorsuch's dissent, which was, where he said that this is something that Congress could. I mean, he ruled in favor of birthright citizenship, but only because of the law, not because of what the Constitution said. And so he was suggesting that there is a legislative remedy for it. What Trump is fantasizing about is a U.S. Congress finding the votes to overturn birthright citizenship, which they could, and then that would close the gap a little bit more. Trump needs to let this go. He lost. Now, I want to ask you, John, if you were king, what would you say about birthright citizenship? And keep in mind that one of the things that people have problems with it are people like flying in from China, say, just birth tourism, which is something of an industry where women who are 8 months pregnant will come here on a tourist visa, give birth to an American citizen. What would you put any restrictions on it at all? If and when you become
If and when you can explain to me how that's harming me, if and when you can explain to me how that's harming the United States. The United States is such a great country, people will go to those lengths to be citizens of the U.S. I guess if millions of them were then, you know, voting at the behest of the Chinese government, and therefore it was ruining our democracy. Okay, then tell me about that. But I don't know about that. I don't know how we are being harmed by birthright citizenship. I think, like the SAVE Act, it is a solution looking for a problem. I understand it, and I guess that's wrong, but I don't know how wrong it is. I don't see the harm in it.
Well, I don't like the idea of people who just parachute in here, have a child, and say that child's an American citizen. I don't like that idea, but I agree with you that the remedy for fixing that doesn't address all kinds of...
Well, give me a potential remedy. So how could you remedy this then? Like, you have to live here for a year or something like that?
You can say so that anyone who is here on a tourist visa, for instance, or anyone who has not been here for 3 months at a time, something like that. What you don't want, and why birthright citizenship is fundamentally a good idea, is that it does not create a permanent class of outsiders. That you bring people into the family of citizens gradually, so that when you have a child born here to people who are not citizens, they don't permanently become non-citizens and have been, and then their children are non-citizens.
Right. Expand on that. So now you're indentured, in other words. So now you live in the United States, you pay taxes, you earn income, you maybe you drive a car. I'm not sure what rights you get, but you don't get to vote. So we have the voting people and the non-voting people that live here. And is that what we want, to be able to exert our will on this class or population of people? Maybe you do, but I don't like the sort of parallel populations living in the United States at the same time.
No, it's a really bad idea. And when Trump claims that the United States is the only country that does this, he's flat out wrong. I was pleased to see last night on WGN News where I forget who was hosting the broadcast, but pointed out, after they played Trump's clip, saying we're the only country that does this. She pointed out, Canada does this, Mexico does it, a whole bunch of other countries have birthright citizenship. It is an accepted way of integrating immigrant populations into your population. And we've seen this over and over again with immigrant populations that have come to this country, the Italians, the Irish, who originally had difficulties here but became fully integrated, fully American. And that's what you want. You don't want this permanent class of outsiders. This decision is not going to hurt the country. It may be a cultural flashpoint for some people, but it is not damaging. And I agree totally with you about the SAVE Act and how that is similar in that case, which is that we're talking about a solution in search of a problem. I think it was one of the Sunday chat shows where a senator, I think from Oklahoma, was saying the reason we need the SAVE Act is that people think that there's fraud in the elections. And the interviewer said, well, do you have any examples anywhere of fraud that's changed an election? And the guy says, no, it's that the public thinks that it's a problem. And that's the same thing with birthright citizenship, that people think it's a problem. They imagine it's a problem, but it isn't.
Well, about the SAVE Act, though, if we have low confidence in the integrity of our elections, then the SAVE Act would improve the confidence in the integrity of our elections. And maybe that's still the solution looking for a problem, but a genuine problem is low confidence in the integrity of our elections. Now, that is in no small part because the president has for years been saying that the elections are rigged. They're not. But as a result of that mantra for 6 years, we have low confidence in the elections. I don't know how you solve that, but one potential solution would be a version of the SAVE Act, right?
It is.
That's the argument.
The lack of confidence in elections is based on a lie. It's based on a misapprehension. The elections in this country are secure. The people go in search
of. I'm not arguing that,
examples of election fraud. I know, but to say that public opinion is the problem. And again, if it's an easy fix, sure. But with the SAVE Act, you're talking about this document chase that many, many people, many married women in particular, would have to go on to find their original birth certificates, their marriage certificates, or buy a passport. It is a voter suppression act, and it's and the thing is, it's not going to pass the Senate. No way is it going to pass the Senate.
I'm surprised. Eric, your phone's starting to cut out, and I need to take a break anyway, but I understand what you're saying. The Congress seems to have no interest in this, even despite these Supreme Court rulings, which might have pushed the needle a little bit more over to that side. But it doesn't appear as though the Senate is at all interested in this. I wonder how long they're going to hold the line on that. They've buckled of late on issues where the president was able to pressure them. Talking
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Eric Zorn, he publishes the Picayune Sentinel, a weekly newsletter you get for free if you just email ericzorn@gmail.com. He's part of our Mincing Rascals podcast panel, too. About TV watching and people cutting the cable, 630 says, I live near Galena, Illinois, with an antenna on my roof, and on a clear day I can get Channel 7 or WGN in Chicago. Our main news comes from the Quad Cities or Rockford. Antennas can go hundreds of miles. Somebody else said, we need to boycott the NFL and all sports with streaming, paying extra to watch football. I'm so thankful my dad's not around because he would be furious. I don't think our fury is going to change the minds of the people at Netflix, though. Do you, Eric?
Oh, no, not at all. There's too much money to be made.
And one other note, John, I largely agree with you with the idea that it's not really harming us, birthright citizenship, in a material way. However, I also agree that it would be easy enough to say that, yeah, you have to have been here for at least 3 months or 6 months or a year or something. I said as a quip the other day, and the more I think about it, the more this makes sense. If we wanted to amend birthright citizenship, say you have to be here for 9 months and a day, or, you know, 10 months, just figure out just long enough to say that you did not come here pregnant. And then, you know, somebody will say, all right, I'll go there, get pregnant, stay with my cousin for a year. If that's the motivation for somebody to have a child, I'm still not bothered by it, but at least that would make some sense, right?
That would make sense. I mean, 9 months is a lot, but, you know, how about 5 months, something like that? But again, I don't think it's necessary, and you're going to have to figure out, especially the people who have come here illegally without, you know, without documentation. You don't know when they came here, and they can tell you when they came here, and it would just create a bigger headache than this is a situation we've got right now, which is, hey, you're born here, you're a citizen here. I hope you become a fine, upstanding American.
Yeah, me too. One last note here. The president is posting about all of this today, about the executive power that the court has given the president, with the exception of rule over the Federal Reserve. The president said the whole concept of power has been fought for nearly 100 years, going all the way back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, where a large slice of his power was taken away. President is not always the best speller, but you understand what it is saying. What are you saying about Chicagoland, by the way? Why did that pop up in your newsletter?
It popped up. Somebody had written to me saying that they hate the term Chicagoland, and they don't even really like the term Chi-Town, but they have resigned themselves to it. And I looked into it a little bit, and Chicagoland is about to celebrate its 100th anniversary of appearing in print. That according to a WBEZ report, it first appeared in the Tribune in a headline on the front page on July 27th, 1926, Chicagoland Shrines, a Tour of Discoveries. And ever since then, it's been sort of a controversial designation. At first, Colonel McCormick, who was the rascally publisher of the Tribune in those days, wanted it to refer to like this 200-mile bubble around Chicago. And he wanted to use that term so that people in that vicinity would consider themselves sort of honorary citizens of Chicago and subscribe to the Tribune. But gradually, as advertisers use it, as other media have used it, it's become a term that basically refers to the more densely populated suburbs in the area.
Who doesn't like, if you're in Naperville, do you not want to be part of Chicagoland? Or if you're in Chicago, do you not want Naperville to borrow the word?
Well, I don't. I mean, there's this whole argument about whether the Bears could be called the Chicago Bears if they're in Hammond, and I believe that Hammond is part of Chicagoland. It's another term for Greater Chicago, which is a term that just about every major city uses. You know, Greater Detroit, Greater Milwaukee, Greater New York, and so we just use Greater Chicagoland, and that is a term that is made up, I think, by Colonel McCormick, or certainly promulgated by the Tribune 100 years ago. And it's become something that a lot of news organizations don't want to use. BEZ in its report said that we don't use it. They said they don't like it. They're said to refer to the Chicago area because Chicagoland is something that is identified with the Tribune. I don't think that it is. I don't think most people know or remember or care that the Tribune was the first news organization to promote that.
Yeah.
Advertisers use it. Broadcasters use it. It's just a convenient way to talk about Chicago and the suburbs.
You asked your readers about that. Incidentally, that Colonel McCormick was a crazy cat. He lived a weird life. His mother dressed him as a girl until he went to school. She so wanted a daughter. It just goes on and on and on. And then I'm out of time now. I'll have to wax on about this, but I've been reading about him lately, and I appreciate your rascally interpretation of him. That's Eric Zorn. He publishes the Picayune Sentinel, and he joins us on our Mincing Rascals podcast on Wednesdays. If you email ericzorn@gmail.com, he'll sign you up for nothing. For a pittance, you get the premium edition. Nice to talk to you today, Eric.
Great talking to you, John. I'll see you on the podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, we see each other, too. We're also on YouTube now with the Mincing Rascals. You can watch us sit there and talk.